You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. This week, we hear the story of Herschel Supply, the brand built by two Canadian brothers in 2009 that now sells millions of bags every year in more than 70 countries. If you live in the city, suburbs, countryside, or anywhere in between, you've likely already seen one of their bags since the day began. So how'd they grow the brand so successfully? Today on Eureka, one of those two brothers, Lyndon Cormack, shares the Herschel story.
For the two decades before starting Herschel, I worked in a sales capacity. The last 10 years, I spent owning the showroom in Western Canada for Vans Shoes, so was active in the selling of Vans Shoes, among some other brands. Before that, a lot in the bicycle industry, in the snowboard industry, a little more sporting goods specific. And then 10 years with Vans, which is a great company, and it's one I have a ton of respect for, was just looking for the next chapter of my life, and on came Herschel. Both my brother and I am the youngest of three boys, but Jamie and I are the guys who operate Herschel. We really didn't want to be 40-year-old sales reps. That was sort of one of the big word that we'd say, I just don't want to be a 40-year-old sales rep. And in our capacity, my capacity with Vans, it's like, in the end of the day, that's what I was. And so I think at that point in time, maybe a little fear, a little bit more of like, I could be replaced, a little bit more of how much did I matter to that business where it was so popular, we had such great retailers, it was a sophisticated setting. How much more did they need me? And the irony of that was I actually turned 40 last August, and I was actually here in London for my 40th birthday. And so I'm not a 40-year-old sales rep, but in the end of the day, we were still a bit involved in the sales aspect of the business. Jamie and I, you couldn't get two closer guys. We chatted on the phone. We lived in different cities, but we chatted on the phone all the time. We talked about ideas, not just the idea of making bags or apparel or what have you. We talked about a lot of ideas. And I think it was just the, you know, true sense of collaboration between brothers, just sharing ideas. And some of them were terrible ideas. Others were mediocre. And maybe we hit on a really good one that resonated really well. And so we started to try to figure out how to create a brand, and having no manufacturing experiences were quite difficult in the early days, but we just persevered and we just kept on pushing forward and understanding that the next page was a different story, and just kept on going and going and tried to work it out. The bag market for me was oversaturated in commodity products, ones without a heartbeat in my opinion, not to say that they were bad quality pieces or anything. They certainly, I guess, did their job. The sporting goods world had a ton of different offerings in the space. And there was just something missing. There was something that the category itself, in my opinion, in the price points where we play, lacked attention to detail, lacked the sense of creativity, lacked architecture and design. It lacked the things that I think makes brands great. It lacked something, a deeper, something you wanted to dig into a little bit more. And so on one side, we had action sports bags and surfing bags, skateboarding brands, snowboard company bags. We had commodity brands maybe on the other side. And I think there was just something missing in the middle. And coming from the shoe game, I feel there wasn't an exact, if you take what we know today as Adidas Originals or Nike Sportswear or Vans or Converse, and I felt there was just something missing that was one of those brands in the bag space. And both Jamie and I really just kept on talking about it. And, you know, we still have talked about so many ideas that could potentially have been other white space, and we still see white space in certain areas. But this is the one where I was like, hey, this is a really good opportunity to tell a different story, and it worked. Our great-grandparents actually lived in Scotland and came through the homestead program and landed themselves in Canada. They trekked across Canada and landed themselves out this side of this little town called Herschel. My great-grandparents were moved there initially. My grandparents lived there until they passed away. My dad lived there until he was 18 and went off to school. My grandparents still remain there. My mom was from the town 20 kilometers to the west. And my mom became a school teacher, and my dad was in the oil business, and we lived mainly in Alberta, but mainly in Calgary, the Calgary part of Alberta, a few other stops along the way. But what my parents really wanted to do is give us kids the opportunities they never had. So we got to go to Disneyland and Hawaii, and we got to go on trips to, I mean, even Vancouver was a quite a large trip from Calgary. And I guess the irony of that was that the place that we found we had the most amount of fun was going back to our grandparents' place in this little town called Herschel, which has 23 people who live there now. But we could ride old dirt bikes, we could ride old snowmobiles, we could shoot guns, and we could go get lost in this prairie land. And I don't know, some of the most memorable times of my life and my brother's life. And so it sort of just felt like a natural fit. Step one was really trying to create the line architecture, what we wanted this brand to look like. So I guess maybe a question we would have asked ourselves is, if this brand already existed, what would this look like on paper? What would this look like in catalog? What would be the mood of it? How would this resonate, or how would we show this through imagery and then actual mock-up bags? And a lot of times that was done on paper to begin with. I started doing more research and mainly just Googling backpack factory that makes backpacks, backpack manufacturing, bag manufacturing, luggage manufacturing, and just kept on Googling and looking for names you'd see here and there. And it was tough. I mean, it was in the early days, we're just trying to do that. But then at that point in time, I sent out that same booklet to maybe 100 different names. And all of a sudden we started getting people hitting us back. We sent over more detailed specs, you know, better line art, more material specifications. And we got the box of samples from the factory, and Jamie met me, and for some reason, I don't know why we met at this place, but it is part of the story. We met at the McDonald's parking lot on the most westerly spot in Calgary, Alberta. We got this box and we cracked them open and we pulled our first samples out, and they were horrendous. I mean, this place made bags, but these bags were terrible. It was honestly like we were questioning everything at that point in time. Is this really what we want to do? They were a start, but not a very good one. So we made a quick decision that Jamie needed to get over to China, which he had never been to. He ended up flying into Nanjing, and he worked in the sample room for, a couple weeks. Doesn't speak a breath of Mandarin or Cantonese, and worked in that sample room and created our first line. And it's, really, it's owed to him at that point in time for, you know, the first real good look of what we were doing. In the end of the day, our first trade show, I would call a massive success. And we ended up going to New York City, and it was the first trade show for a new show called Agenda. So we showed up the day before the show. We only had one sample set at that point in time, so we had brought all the samples with us in duffel bags. We show up at the show, they show us our spot, and there's just apparel rack sitting in there. And I'm like, well, we're not an apparel brand, we sell bags. And the one thing, this was in an old art museum, and they had all these pallets around that they built the dividers for booths. So we found a bunch more, and it was in New York, so it's pretty easy to find pallets, to be honest. So we went over there, and we were like, well, you know what? This is what we're doing today. We're building ourselves a booth. So we ripped apart pallets. We borrowed saws and borrowed power drills, et cetera, and we constructed our first ever trade show booth. And, you know, we showed up probably the earliest, and we definitely left maybe like 7 hours after anybody else left. But it looked really good. We did the best we could with a small little space. And then the next day, it was phenomenal. I mean, we got to meet some of our still existing retailers, guys like Need Supply, Urban Outfitters, Bloomingdale's, the guys from GQ who have always been really kind to us came by. And, you know, we ended up on the front cover of the GQ gift guide, which was, you know, for us kind of awesome. I've said to people, I wish the fact that you can sell your brand, I wish it was something that didn't exist, so it could just get out of your mind sometime, because it's one of those things, it's sort of like it tears at you a little bit, right? It's like you love what you do. I love my job, and I love doing what I'm doing. Now, is it the right thing to do for my family to give more security and take chips off the table, as they all say? And maybe it is. And, we're at a point where we save money, we bury a bit in the floorboards, we look down the path in case there's something crazy to happen. So we do our best to just be really smart with savings and really smart with investing back into our own brand. And to be honest, the person I probably talk the least about this with is Jamie, who's probably the person I should talk the most about it. But we're just so busy running the company. And again, I know he loves what he does and I love what I do. And it's a distraction, but it's not overly a distraction. But it's definitely, I know wholeheartedly. If it's in the back of my mind, it's in the back of his mind all the time. And for now, we just cruising, and we're making the same decisions we would have made whether the option existed or not. And so we're just powering forward and having fun doing it and releasing new categories, coming up with new ideas, brainstorming like crazy, working with a ridiculously group of creative people. And just, if I wasn't there, I'd miss it for sure. So I'm not ready to, I am ready to sit on a beach, but I'm not ready to sit on a beach full time. So I'm just gonna keep on powering through what I do.
Lyndon Cormack, co-founder of Herschel Supply. Eureka's back again next Friday, but before then, tune into The Entrepreneurs on Wednesday. This episode was edited by Toby Hammond. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. Thanks for listening.